And sometimes I get surprised, and he gets in it, and I get out of it, and he does a lot better job than I do. 2 Samuel chapter 21. If you want to write this down for the internet, I'm calling this Keeping the Buzzards Away. Amen. Keeping the Buzzards Away. Amen? I know a lot of you all don't have much knowledge about buzzards, but around here, Keeping the Buzzards Away. 2 Samuel chapter 21. I'll read verse 1 through 6 and then 9 through 14 for the sake of time, but when you get home today, how about reading that whole story? You'll be glad you did. Chapter 21, verse 1 says, "Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years. 2 Samuel. Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, 'It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites.' And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, 'Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, What shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, We will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, What ye shall say, that will I do for you. And they answered the king, The man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from the remaining in any of the coast of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. And he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord, and they fell all 7 together and were put to death in the days put together in the days of harvest, in the first days of the beginning of the barley harvest. Now, I want you to notice this. And Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of the harvest until the water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beast of the field by night. And it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Ai, then the concubine of Saul, had done. And David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son from the men of Jabesh Gilead, which had stolen them from the street of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hanged them when the Philistines had slain Saul in Gilboa. And he brought up from thence the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son, and they gathered the bones of them that were hanged. And the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son buried they in the country of Benjamin in Zelaah, in the sepulcher of Kish his father. And they performed all that the king commanded, and after that, God was entreated for the land. Father, help us today. Meet with us, Lord. All is vain unless thy spirit come down. And Lord, we didn't come here to hear from men. We came here to hear from you. Now, add to the reading of your word. Bless us. Save that one nearest hell. Bless the ones that saved doing the best they can. Help the ones who are stumbling, and have mercy on us, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. I call it Keeping the Buzzards Away. I preached this message a long time ago, and a lady a couple of weeks ago asked me, said, when are you going to chase the buzzards away again? And so I'm going to try, and let's just rehearse the story a little bit, okay? The story is about this woman, Rizpah, and she had some sons. And because of what Saul had done to the Gibeonites, God was punishing or chastening the children of Israel. And so David inquired of God what to do, and he said, well, you're going to have to make right with these people what Saul did wrong with them. And so he goes to them, and they said, we don't want Saul's gold. We don't want Saul's silver. We don't want anything out of Saul's house. You're going to have to give us 7 men out of the family of Saul that we can hang to get it right for the men that he killed in our tribe after he'd made a covenant with us not to kill anybody if we would let them pass through and help them a little bit on their way to the promised land. So David gives them 7 men. They were all of the same family of a woman who was a descendant of that family of Saul. And those sons were hanged on a tree. And she stayed when they took them down. They let them down on a rock. She covered that rock with cloth, and she sat there for about 2 months, day and night, shooing off the birds, it says, the buzzards, and at night running off the wild animals from eating the carcasses of her dead sons. And that's what she did. Now, I got to thinking a little bit about that. There's a lot that I thought about. My initial impressions of this story is this. Number one, this woman did some extreme grieving. But that's okay. That's okay. Everybody grieves different. And this woman grieved so much, she refused to bury her sons, but she wouldn't let the wild animals eat them either. And she stood guard over them. Now, everybody in this room has had a loss of a parent or a child or a spouse or a brother or a sister, and we've all grieved different ways. We've all had to suffer somehow. You will not get through this world without suffering. I mean, even as a child of God, sin has put death and a curse on the planet that we live in, and we cannot escape that. You go to the moon, it's going to follow you. Suffering, I don't care where you go, suffering will follow you. And we all grieve differently. We all grieve differently. Now, thank God I had 99 and a half years to get ready for my mama to go. Thank God. I buried 4 brothers and 4 sisters, but thank God. And we all grieve differently. And somebody would say, well, you can't preach their funeral. I said, that's the way I'm going to grieve. I'm going to preach their funeral. Yes. I preached my mother-in-law's funeral, one of the greatest women I ever knew. Great, one of the greatest Christians I ever knew. And see, that's how I grieve, by doing these things. But now this woman had different grief. She wasn't a preacher and she couldn't stand up and say anything, but she could do this. And for months, she watched it. Don't be so quick to judge people when they grieve, okay? Don't do that. That's not going to help you. It's not going to help them. It doesn't matter who you are. We're all going to grieve. And one day they might wonder why you're grieving the way you're grieving. Then I thought about this. Some show grieving by dramatic things and others do it very quietly. And this woman did a dramatic thing. And I've never heard of this being done before or after this. But she did it, and it was all in the plan of God, the way she did it. We wouldn't have the story in here today if she hadn't have done it this way. And God gets glory out of that. Amen. So don't be so quick. We had loss this week. Sister Shirley's sister Vera went home to be with the Lord. And I didn't know her much. I knew her a little bit and counseled with her a little bit. And her family came, and I didn't know them. But they grieved, and they did it in a good way, you know. I've seen people not so good. But some people grieve longer than others. Don't look at somebody and say, well, you ought to be done got over that by now. No. You ought not ever get over it. There ought to always be a soft spot in there. Amen? Amen. So don't judge others by your experience. She grieved a long time. She grieved out in the open. She grieved in a dramatic way. But her sorrow was a reaction to something that God had a purpose for. Amen. Then I thought about this. It teaches me a lesson on the love of God. Amen. 1 Corinthians 13 says charity suffereth long. Yes. Love suffers a long time. Now, when you don't love somebody, you can get over something pretty quick. But if you love somebody and something happens, you'll suffer a long time. And boy, that sure has helped me. And I thought about this too. David was an earthly king. Think how much better the heavenly king will do for us. Amen?
Amen.
All right, now, that was my introduction. I want to show you a couple of things. Number one, this woman came to protect the bodies of her sons from buzzards and predators. Though they were dead, she still would not let them be dishonored. She wouldn't eat. She wouldn't sleep. She wouldn't leave her sons alone. She wouldn't do anything until her sons had a decent burial. And that wasn't in her power to do that. They were supposed to be shamed for what Saul did to that tribe. Now, but so all she could do is do what she could do. Wilt not wait. Think about this. Wilt not wait until they're dead to shoot a buzzard off of them. Amen. There's a lot of buzzards. You don't want a buzzard. It's about the ugliest thing you ever saw. You know, we're going to eat turkey pretty soon. He looks a lot like a buzzard. If it wasn't for how good he tasted, I wouldn't eat that thing. Turkey's ugly. They have turkey buzzards. Amen? You ever eat one of them? Somebody probably bring one to the poor man's son. Couldn't get a turkey preacher, but I got a turkey buzzard. Listen. Let me tell you something. Genesis 14, 1 through 6 and 9 through 11, Abraham did the same thing with a sacrifice to God. When God told Abraham he'd have a son and he was already too old to have children, and Abraham went and made a sacrifice to God and had to stay beside it to shoot the buzzards off and keep the wild animals from eating the thing that he had sanctified for God. We got some things we ought to sanctify to God. Our children ought to be sanctified to God. Our families ought to be. By the way, stop right there on our children, our grandchildren. Don't wait till they're 15 to try to get them sanctified. You better do it while they're 5 or 6 or 7 or 8. And until then, you're the one that's got to shoot the buzzards off. The buzzards of this world. Amen. Our family, our church, anything that gives God glory through us, that we sanctify to Him, we're going to have to stand watch over it. Amen. There's churches all over this town that's empty today, and they're mausoleums, and they're dead, and they're dried up. Some good people sacrificed. Good people built those churches. Good people taught in those churches. And as the generations died off, the buzzards came in and took them over and destroyed them. There should have been somebody that kept standing and shooing the stinking buzzards off. Amen? Amen. Did you know that we have to be ready, as the Bible says right there, to drive them away? Now, there's my daughter sitting right there, one of them. I got three, all of them beautiful. They're all three of my favorite daughters. They're all smart. They're all beautiful. They're all educated. And y'all already know that, though, don't you? And and they're just like their mama. But you can ask them. When they were growing up, we kept the buzzards shoot off. We kept the vultures away. We kept the wild animals away. Amen? Amen. If they come up to my house, I'd say, what jail did you get out of? And I'd say, I've been to jail before and I ain't scared to go back. I'm teasing. But listen, that's my job. That's your job as a parent. That's not you. My wife just retired from teaching school. You want to know one of the reasons she's retired? Let it go. One of the reasons she retired was this. Parents expect the teacher now to be everything.
Yes.
Let me put this on so I can shoo away some buzzards. Listen. Becky still teaches school, and she has to teach some kind of remedial thing because of the way people are. But listen to this. It's not the school's job to teach your children about religion. Matter of fact, the day that we live in, I'd rather they didn't. Amen. I just passed a church yesterday over here on Main Street across from Northwestern High School, said the LGBTQ focus group or whatever it is welcome here. What if there's a school teacher in there? I don't want them teaching my children. Amen. And that's why God gave them a mom and daddy, was to teach them. Amen. That's why God gave them grandparents, was to further that. My wife was supposed to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic. Ain't that what we got at school? Oh, I remember the Bible. They read the Bible. Yeah, they read it over the intercom. I didn't listen. Somebody prayed over the intercom. I didn't listen. That didn't mean nothing to me. But if my mama set me down and told me something with a switch in her hand or fly swatter, I'd listen. Amen. But it's our job to keep the stinking buzzards off our children. This world is destroying the children of Christianity. And the sad thing is the parents are not doing anything about it. Let me get this right here. Billy, don't get scared, okay? That's what we need right there. You take that thing. You ought to get the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and we ought to just attack that bunch of buzzards and vultures and the beasts that attack our children. And I mean your television. And your internet. By the way, if you're dumb enough to let your kid have a closed door room with the internet, you're crippled too high for crutches. Amen. Oh, my children never would do that. They're born of the flesh just like you are. They'll have every temptation you've ever had. And they need somebody to shoo the buzzards off. I just baptized that boy. The buzzards are going to be after him. They're going to be after you, son. I'm telling you, mom and daddy needs to get together. Grandma and grandpa needs to get together and start shooing the stinking buzzards off. One time, not long ago, a woman told me, I can't get my youngin' to come to church. I said, your youngin' is 12 years old. How can you not get a 12-year-old where they just won't do it? I said, whoa. You're 5'10", you weigh 100, you say 123, but you really weigh 150 pounds. And you can't pick up a 12-year-old and put him in the car and say, you're going to school, I'm church, just like you do school, and I'm not taking no for an answer. And let them scream and holler and kick and do whatever they want to do. But it's your job to keep the buzzards off of them. Look, our families are being destroyed in America. And what was wrong is now right, and what was right is wrong, and what was... preachers. Preachers. Sometimes I'll put stuff on Facebook, and some preacher will correct me. Number one, I've probably been at it a lot longer than they have. Number two, that it's not Scripture, what they're correcting. They're not using Scripture. And what they're doing, because the world says it's okay, now they're saying it's okay. That stinking buzzard of the world come around, you ought to take a stick and knock him down, say the world ain't welcome here. Amen. Amen. Listen, some of the buzzards and predators I thought about. Number one, our college classrooms are full of them. Yeah. Number one, our college classrooms are full. It's not safe to send your children to college anymore. Amen. Even a lot of Christian colleges. A lot of these buzzers wear seminary robes.
Others stand behind pulpits. Some are waiting over at the schoolhouse from the kindergarten through high school to get your children and destroy your family. They're just waiting to pick them off. They're waiting to shipwreck the faith that you and I have suffered for and endured for and that Jesus Christ died for. I don't know what it's going to take him. This woman loved her boys so much, she would not let them have those bodies until they were buried. She was going to stand guard night and day a couple of months. And you can't get Christians to stand guard for one day a week called Sunday. Is this on? Can y'all hear me? Those ravens would have picked the bones of those boys clean. There wouldn't have been anything left to bury. And let me tell you something. When they come after your family and your children and your marriage and, listen, your church, there won't be anything left of it when the ravens of this world gets through with it. Now, I'm not the smartest man in here, but I know this. I know that if I give up and give in, they'll win. And listen, I know this. Without the Word of God and the Spirit, I don't have a hope. Thank God for my daughters. Thank God they've all turned out all right, and they've had their problems, and they've been through their trials and their tribulations, but they all are standing today. And thank God for that. And some of your children, thank God you've had problems in your own life, and the old buzzards have come around and tried to destroy it, but thank God they're still there. Your children are still with you. They still love you. You still got a church that loves you. Hello. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech unto thee, brethren, that by the mercies of God you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. Not H-O-L-Y. Holy. W-H. Holy. Completely. Present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord, and he said, which is your reasonable. So that's just reasonable. I was saved March 5th, 1978, Eastside Baptist Church, about 12:15 to 300 verse of Just As I Am Without One Plea. At least I felt like it was 300 verse. And I went down there that day and I said, preacher, I want to get saved. And I'll never forget that old fat preacher held me. Is it politically incorrect to say fat now? That healthy preacher wrapped himself around me and said, son, he desires to save you. And that day he saved me. And did you know, a couple weeks later, come to church on Sunday night. I didn't even know churches had church on Sunday night. And I come to church on Sunday night. And he said, are you going to get baptized tonight? I'd never seen anybody get baptized. I didn't know anything about baptism. A redneck from south side of Lancaster, just barely alive. It was grace of God, I live. And so he says, well, you're supposed to. The Bible says so. I said, well, the Bible says so. Let's do it. He said, you got to change the clothes. I said, no, let's do it in these. He said, you can't do that. He sent his son-in-law across the street to get some of his son-in-law clothes. And if you know Benny, he's about that much wider than I am. So I had to take those pants and fold them and put my belt on them. And I got baptized in a stranger's clothes, and my wife got baptized in his daughter's clothes, Lisa. And we got baptized in a stranger's clothes. But the only reason I did it is because he said, the Bible says so. I had gotten saved. I'd been born again. I had a new mind, a new heart, a new spirit. I was a different person, and I was changing every day. And boy, if I went to church and preacher put his big old fat finger toward me and said, the Bible says, I'd say amen. Even if I didn't like it, I'd say amen. Because that day, I'd laid myself at the feet of Jesus, a living sacrifice. I didn't know that Bible verse. I didn't know that's what I did. I just know that he was mine and I was his, and whatever he said went with me. Amen? Amen, amen. I guarantee you, I lost every friend I had. All but one, he stuck it out. I lost every friend I had. My wife stuck it out. She stayed with me. My children did. But look, that's the same thing. No sooner will a sinner say a sinner's prayer and some buzzard, a land with some drink in his hand, or some buzzard will come around with some drugs to share, or some old vulture will come around with a dirty joke, or some old sorry buzzard to come around and make fun of that simple servant's faith. They start soon as you die to self. That's when the buzzards start circling. And thank God, some of us had people that beat them off while we grew enough to beat them off ourselves. Thank God for the old preacher that preached to us and a Sunday school teacher that would teach to us and maybe a mama or a mama and a daddy that would keep us straight while we was trying to grow in the Lord and do something with the sacrifice that we had given to Him. Amen? No sooner does a person receive Jesus Christ than he's going to find some old buzzard that'll criticize the church he's going to. Now don't get me wrong, there's wrong everywhere. Even in this church, there's wrong. Now, as long as it's not doctrinally wrong, I don't have a problem with, you know. But when people criticize your church because they believe the Bible, or you got a preacher that preaches the Bible, or Sunday school that teaches the Bible, or deacons that deek, they're not demons, they're deacons, then, hey, you ought to tell them, shut up. Say, shut up, you old buzzard. No sooner did some saint die to self, maybe it took you 2 or 3 years after you got saved, you laid your body on the altar, a living sacrifice, the buzzard started circling over, and no sooner had you died to yourself than some guy comes along and starts flashing the shiny things of this old world. Yeah. We need to put the whole armor of God on. Amen. And we need to lay us and our children and our grandchildren and our church and our nation on the altar and say, God, this is a sacrifice and I'm giving it to you and you got to protect it. I'll do all I can, but I'm really not a good match for the devil and his crowd, but I'll shoo them off and you kill them. This woman stayed at, she stayed at her post. Nowadays, men and women are running off and they're leaving their children. They say, I can't handle it anymore. Well, you shouldn't have given birth to them. Amen. That's good preaching. Go ahead, preacher. Preach right there a little bit. Amen. Amen. I go out there, I preach at the chain gang and Billy, I was not a member. I was just visiting, okay? And I preach at the chain gang, and I preach out there, and some guy come to me and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm in jail because my wife put me here. Well, why'd your wife put you here? Because I wouldn't pay child support. I say, you belong in jail, you sorry buzzard. You ought to be in jail. Man that'll birth children won't pay for them something to eat and clothes to wear, he'll be in jail. Because you ain't one of them. You know what? Let me show you the real sword, okay? That right there is the sword of the Spirit. And it's quick. That means it's alive. That's all. Ain't nothing wrong with that word. The English word. Quick. Quick. Don't know what that means. Bite your fingernail real hard and rip it off. You'll understand what quick means. The live part will hurt. And it's quick. And it's powerful. And it's sharper than a two-edged sword. And it divides asunder both soul and spirit. And it, hey, even to the joints and the marrow. That means it hurts the body too. And that thing gets you going and coming. Going and coming. There ain't no way to get out of it. And we'd get back in the book and swing that thing around. We'd kill some buzzards. Well, I'm taking my children to the psychological counselor, and she's been teaching him that he's really a little girl in a boy's body. You're an idiot. Look, that's what you are. Yeah. You need to get the Word of God in your children. Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Well, I'm taking my little girl to the psychologist, and we're working all these things out. And I've been having to make up a lot to my little girl. And I said, well, why do you have to do that? She said, well, I used to spank her. Is that not what the Bible says to do? And he said, don't even spare them, for they're much crying. Oh, I can tell that went over real good right there. Yeah. Went over real good. You know you're a Baptist preacher when you stop on the way to church because they won't behave, and you get a switch and whip them on the side of the road. Amen. You know what? A little whipping sure would fix a whole lot. Yeah, you ought to beat that buzzard out of some of them. Amen. But see, instead of just taking the Word of God, we let this old world full of buzzards and animals and wild beasts influence us. Well, listen. We got to change our music because, you know, these kids really like Def Leppard. I know I'm old. They don't even know who that is. I'm sure there's some guy with earrings and makeup that they listen to worse than Def Leppard now. But if we change to that, then they'll come to church. Yeah, but all they're going to get is another buzzard if we change to that. We're just replacing one buzzard with another buzzard that took a bath that day. I'm serious. There, if the Church of Jesus Christ does not wake up, the pulpits of America are being invaded by animals and vultures. And as Paul said, they're making merchandise of men's souls. I've been in the ministry since 19. I surrendered to Eastside Baptist Church in 81. I was licensed to preach 82. It blessed the ordained 83 there. And I've been around a long time. And I've got news for you. Our pulpits are full of hirelings. And I'll tell you how to test that. Go up to him one week and say, we won't be able to pay you for the next month or two. Yeah? See what he says then. Yeah, that's right. And he's the one that makes fun of the poor country preacher that had to plow his own garden and raise his own pigs and chickens while he tried to build a church. Yeah. That's right. And these buzzards are hovering over our children. After I got saved, it probably wasn't very long, but I remember doing it probably 1979. By then, I laid my children on the altar. God, I can't do it. I said, God, I wasn't raised right. I never had a father. I don't know how to be a father. God, you got to help me. You got to help me. And I don't want my children to go to hell. And God, if they go to hell, I'm going to trust you to keep them out of hell. That's all I got. I don't know what else to do. Here they are, Lord. Amen. Yeah. And I've seen the buzzards hovering more than one time and tried to shoo them off, and only God could fix it, but He will. Thank God we got a bunch of good people right here. That's, you got the right stick. Amen? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And long as you come to this church, we're going to use the right stick to shoot the buzzards off. We're not going to entertain them. We're going to rebuke them. And we're not going to pacify them. We're going to warn them. Oh, John the Baptist saw that crowd come up out there at the river, and they were religious buzzards. And he saw them come up, and he pointed at them. He said, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come, you bunch of hypocrites, vipers? Yeah. You say, preacher, we're not going to have many friends. Well, listen, I'd rather save my family from hell than have a whole list of friends. I'd rather save my grandchildren from a devil's hell than to be the most friendly man in town. I like friends, and I like being friendly. Anybody tell you that? I don't like confrontation. But if the buzzards come around, I'm going to kill something. Or at least hit at it. All right, I'll give you a picture of it. One day, I think last Thanksgiving, we ate, guess what we ate? Turkey. He looked just like a buzzard, but he cut his head off before he got there, so we didn't care. But we ate turkey and all those bones and leftovers, you know, after my wife scraped all the, because you're going to eat turkey for 2 weeks, you know, turkey sandwiches and turkey this and turkey that. And I love it. But anyway, putting up mayonnaise on it. But she scraped all that off, you know, and I took that big old carcass, and I took it out there to the back of the yard, and I laid it down there on the edge of the wooded area back there. That's usually where I take slop back there for the wild animals, raccoons, and we got a possum come up and look in the back door sometimes while we're eating. And so I'd lay stuff out there to keep them off the porch so they can eat out there. And so I laid that out there, and a couple of days later, we're out there it was a nice day, and we're out there, and we're eating lunch or something in the house, and I look on the rail around the deck there at the back door in the swim pool, and these buzzards start landing on that. I mean, a bunch of buzzards landed on the rail around our deck right there at the swim pool. I said, oh, man. So I got up and went out there, and they were all up in the trees. And I looked over there where the carcass was. There must have been 25 of them over there. I said, now, if y'all know me, I talk mean, but I've never owned a gun. But I got fireworks. I always said that the Taliban will never defeat South Carolina as long as we got fireworks. Amen? I mean, I've had fireworks big as cannonballs, you know. Amen? So I told my wife, I said, I'm getting rid of them things. I'm going to go get me some M80s in there, and I'm going to bring them out here and throw them out there and kill me somebody. You can't kill them. It's against the law. I said, who are they going to tell? I went up there and shoot them all, and they all went up in those trees. And Brother Bill, they sat there and looked at me like I might be the next meal, you know. And they just sit there. And I said, man, what am I going to do? I mean, there was literally hundreds and hundreds of them. And I said, I know what I'll do. I got me some rockets in there. I'm going to go get me some. I keep stocked up. If the Taliban ever comes, I'm ready. And so I went and got me one of them big old rockets, you know, and I took that thing and shot it up there. Boom! And a bunch of them flew off. And then I shot one way over yonder. Boom! And a bunch of them flew off. And they went over to the neighbor's yard. All up in the trees over there. And they were waiting for me to leave so they'd come back. So I just shot some over in the neighbor's yard, too. Finally, I run them down so far. They just kept moving down till I couldn't see them anymore. And I know all that's funny, but I got news for you. There's some buzzards gathering up right now to destroy your faith, your family, your church, your nation, and they're just waiting for you to stop watching. And the moment you stop watching, they're going to get somebody. Because, see, you laid them on the altar. You've made them a sacrifice unto God. And the devil doesn't like that. There might be some buzzards in here today. I just want to warn you. The Word of God's quick and it's powerful. And you will not leave here today after what you've heard the same as what you came in. Let me ask you something. Are you really taking care of what you're supposed to take care of? Are you taking care of those children? Are you shooing those buzzards off? Brother Billy, don't you have a daughter? Them boys ever have to come in and talk to you before they dated your daughter? You know why you did that? You were shooing the stinking buzzards off. Amen. Did you ever have any children? Buzzards ever come around trying to get them? You run them off, didn't you? That's what real parents do. This woman gave up everything. Gave it all. But you know, the average home today, as long as the kids aren't standing in front of the TV or the internet screen, the parents have no idea what's going on in their life. Now, my mama loved me the best she could, but she turned us loose. We didn't have a daddy to whip us. We got too big for her to do anything with. And she just turned us loose. And we fell in a bunch of buzzards. We fell in among them. And they almost destroyed us. And I didn't get saved till I was 23, but my youngest brother, 1 year younger than me, he didn't get saved till he was about 55 years old because the buzzards had got him on heroin. They'd gotten him on everything you could imagine. If you could take it, smoke it, drink it, snort it, shoot it, he did it. It was so bad, they nicknamed him Mummy. That was his nickname because he looked like a walking dead man everywhere he went. And I'd go back to Lancaster and try to witness to people, and I'd tell them who I was, and they'd say, "You're not Mummy Ronnie's brother." And I'd say, "Yes, I am." They'd say, "I don't see how that can be. You can't be Mummy Ronnie's brother." And the buzzards almost got him. And I'd go down there to witness to him, and he didn't want to hear it, wouldn't even stay in the same room with me. But one day he showed up at the church, sitting, I'll never forget, he was on the left-hand side, and as I was preaching, I caught a glimpse of him. And boy, I tell you what, the bells of heaven rung that day. He heard the gospel. He was about 50-something years old, wore out, hepatitis C. Listen. And then a couple weeks later, he came back, and he gave his heart to Christ. And God chewed the buzzards off of him. And he died. I don't know, was he 60 when he died? 53 when he died. So he must have got saved when he was 50. Now listen to me, folks. I'm not trying to tell you how to live. I'm not trying to tell you what to do and what not to do. Only God can do that. But I'm telling you this by the authority of God's Word. We better be vigilant. Hey, we better be vigilant because the devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And your children may be next. Your grandchildren may be next. Your wife may be next. Your husband may be next. Your church may be next. You never know. He says, awake. Now, if you're not saved today, guess what? You ain't got to worry about it. He's already got you. There's only two kinds of people in this world, saved people and lost people. And if you're not saved, you're lost. And the only reason you would be lost is because you've been deceived and blinded by that old buzzard, the devil. Amen. And what you need to do is come to Christ and say, "God, I see myself on a downward spiral, and I feel like maybe, y'all listening? I feel like maybe I can get this thing fixed if I just come to Christ." Now, see, you don't have to have a lot of faith. You don't even have to know what the Bible says other than you're a sinner and he's the Savior. When I walked down that aisle that day, I'd been to church five times probably my whole life, maybe three or four to that church, and I'd heard that I was a sinner, and I'd heard, but I didn't have to go to hell. There was a Savior, and I'd heard if I'd just call on him, he'd save me. And I knew I was a sinner before I got in there. I knew if there was ever a God in heaven, he wasn't going to like what I was doing. And then I found out that Jesus was more than somebody hanging on a tree. He was a risen Savior. And then I realized there was no hope for me without him because I'd tried and tried and tried. And I knew I could not. The preacher come to my house and two or three times he'd say, "You need to get saved." I said, "Preacher, I can't live it." He said, "No, you can't. That's why you need a Savior." And that day I walked down there and somebody said, "You got to believe in the virgin birth." Y'all listening, young people? I didn't know what the virgin birth was. I didn't. Now I believe it. I do now, but I didn't know what that was. Well, somebody said, "You got to believe in the vicarious atonement of Christ." I couldn't spell vicarious. Didn't know what it meant. All I knew is I was a sinner. I was going to hell. God had opened my eyes that I didn't have to go to hell, that his son had paid my sin debt, and if I just come to him, he'd do the saving. Now later on I learned all those other things. And I teach those things. But you listen to me, sinner, right now, all you gotta know is you're a sinner, there's a Savior, and if you'll call, he'll answer. Parent, your children are sinners. Grandparent, your grandchildren are sinners. We need to shoot the buzzards off until they come to the realization that they need a Savior. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your